In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast on 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King. Happy Sunday to everybody that is listening either on our Facebook live stream or on the podcast feed. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We, like I'm sure many of you, are still trying to wrap our brains around what we saw yesterday. Obviously, Auburn gets an SEC opening win over Missouri, but it was in pretty improbable fashion. I'm sure everybody has watched the end of the game, but of course, it's a missed field goal right down the middle, basically an extra point that Missouri had set up as time winded down in regulation. They missed that one to the right. One of the best kickers in the SEC, the first team all-SEC kicker from last year, just shanks it. First miss inside of 30 yards in his entire career. And then Missouri has a clear path touchdown down the sideline. And the running back, Nathaniel Piat, drops it at the goal line. And it falls into the end zone before he crosses the plane. And obviously, Auburn picks it up and wins the game. And so, joined here by Jason Caldwell. And Jason, we were talking about it after the game. Just another example of some, just the absurdities that we're used to seeing inside Jordan Hare. But as you pointed out, Auburn not only got away with, they not only got those two big breaks where, many people have referenced it, but they quite literally, the most literal embodiment I've ever seen of getting handed the game, the running back just dropped the ball in the end zone. But there was more than that. There was a third. There was a third time that they were gifted an opportunity to win this game. And overall, I mean, man, that is just one of the craziest endings to a game I've ever seen. But what it does is, at the end of the day, it gets Auburn an SEC opening win. And as we're recording right now on Sunday afternoon, it has Brian Harsin still in the driver's seat of this program for another week at least.
Yeah. No. When I think back to that game, there's not many games where I remember a team going, look, I don't know that a team did any, or I'll take this back, very little to win the game, but the other team just going, hey, well, we're just going to lose it for you. And that's what it felt like Saturday. Auburn's defense did some good things and kept Auburn absolutely in the football game, because without them, Auburn does not have a chance to win that game. So the defense kept them in an opportunity, but they also allowed Missouri to drive right down the field within regulation and have an opportunity to win the game. They also allowed the running back to basically run to the end zone in overtime, only to drop the ball. Auburn's defense kept hustling, and they were there to be able to recover it and do some things. But, it was, you have a missed field goal within the regulation, which is the equivalent of an extra point. You have Missouri jumping offside to give Auburn another field goal. The play before that, you have an interception that literally went through a guy's fingers. Now, it would have been a really good interception, but you'd have that play. And then you have them dropping the ball. Missouri makes one of four plays in the last 5 minutes of that football game, and the outcome's different. But they didn't. And that's why they're not a very good football team or a very good football program, to be quite honest, is because they did. When you don't do those things, it shows up. Auburn kept hanging on, and to their credit, they did enough to kind of find a way to win that game. Now, can they find a way to take a bunch of steps moving forward? Because, to be quite honest, when you leave that game and now 24 hours later, I can't see wins on this schedule left if that's what the product's going to be on the field. Defensively, they can compete playing like that, But you also played the absolute worst offensive team you're going to play the rest of the season yesterday. There's no doubt about it. Everybody you play on the schedule is going to be better offensively than Missouri, including Western Kentucky. He's going to be a lot better than they were. So you got to be better on defense. I mean, they're good. But yesterday in the second half felt like, well, both teams were afraid to make the mistake. Let's don't do anything big. Let's just keep punting the ball and see what happens. And, you know, both teams literally almost, you know, handed the game over on failed punt returns. And, you know, looking back into the sun, both were fortunate. You know, Auburn, they called a kick interference or illegal touching. But Missouri dropped a couple of them. They were able to get back. And so, it was one for, I won't say it was one for the record books, but it was one that we'll remember for quite a while. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. It has to start offensively. I just don't know what the answers are. And Robbie Ashford, he did some things, you know, throwing the football yesterday and did some things, but you can tell what the recipe is going to be for folks moving forward, starting with LSU next week. They're going to dare you to throw the ball down the field and use the passing game. And, that's going to be the next step. If Robbie Ashford's a quarterback, we'll see how quickly TJ Finley can get back because, I think he's needed desperately for this team in the passing game moving forward.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons, it will be seared into our brains for quite some time, mainly that second half offense from both teams. I've never seen 12 straight punts in a game before, let alone in a half. So it's a pretty ugly looking drive chart on both sides. You had 8 combined 3 and outs for these teams in the second half. And you made a great point, Jason. They were scared to make the wrong move. And so both teams were playing pretty conservatively. On Auburn's end, that looked like, of course, running the ball, which we knew heading into this game. And we were going to be shocked if they attempted that many passes, and it ended up being 21 throws, which I mean, was a little bit more necessary just because of some of the struggles they had on the ground, but still wasn't. I mean, they still, obviously there was a huge focus on the running game, but to no avail. I mean, they did a lot of good things on those first couple drives. I imagine their first offensive possession of the game, I imagine that was a nice script for them. They stuck to very well. You saw a lot of outside kind of pitch action for Tank Bigsby. Robbie Ashford obviously was the one who got into the end zone. And then the defense got the first turnover of the year. You had a 24-yard field to be able to just march right in. They got in 5 plays after that first quarter. Just completely inept offense. They go scoreless for the rest of regulation. And Jason, the biggest problem, I mean, you mentioned it. Teams are going to dare them to throw the ball. They'll dare them to run it. They'll dare them to run the ball too. I mean, just
absolutely
an atrocious performance for them in turn. And it all, not all starts with run blocking, but most of it was what was done in blocking. I noticed in particular, the first carry for Tank Bigsby coming out of halftime, great crease, hit it as hard as he could, got hit as soon as he was in the hole, and then started churning his legs like there was no tomorrow. Comes down after, you know, big physical play, 2 yards. And that was the story of it all day long. They were trying their darndest to just get 2 yards. I don't know if you saw this. Justin Ferguson tweeted this out today, Jason, but
I did. The most unbelievable stat I've ever seen.
The Tank Bigsby had 44 rushing yards against Missouri. But according to Pro Football Focused, he had 62 yards after contact in this game, meaning more often than not, which is not surprising if you watch the game, he had to break through contact in the backfield just to get back to the line of scrimmage. It was an uphill battle just to get back to the line of scrimmage. More yards after contact than total rushing yards is just an insane statistic. And I obviously Tate Johnson's injury might have played a part in it, but I don't know. I look back and this is not an offense that can do much of anything right now. And we talked about it all offseason. Their identity was to run the football and be physical. And Missouri, like you said, this is not the best Missouri is one of the worst offenses you're going to see all season. It's not necessarily the strongest defensive line you're going to see for the rest of the year. Certainly not LSU of next week. It's certainly not Georgia. And they had these kind of problems against this Missouri D line. It doesn't bode well for what their identity wants to be on offense moving forward.
No. And you know, we asked, you know, Brian Harsin about, you know, that last week. And he said, well, you know, you do what the defense dictates, those kind of things. Well, if that's the case, then the defense dictated yesterday that you needed to throw the ball, especially on first down, a lot more than you did. And they didn't do it. So either their identity is to run the football no matter what, which is what we were told, or they didn't come out of the script situation with a very good plan moving forward, which is, hey, we've seen that in the past. That was Gus Malzahn. I mean, you have success early, and then once both teams adjust and fill each other out, then what do you do? That's when it becomes a coordinator, play calling, scheming thing. And, you know, we saw Auburn go back under center a bunch. Well, once Missouri figured that out the first couple of times, then as soon as Robbie Ashford booted out of there, then there was a guy waiting on him every time, and they had an idea what was coming. And so that's it. Now, can you find a way to put your guys in the best position? This is it. This is your roster. You know what they are. Now, can you adjust and you know, play with your roster, not necessarily to make your roster play with what you want to do. That's the key to coaching is adjusting. How do they adjust moving forward to give these guys an opportunity? And if your offensive line is struggling like that, it's got to be quick passing game, getting the ball out of your hands, using some screens, using wide receiver screens, using the middle of the field with the tight ends, all the things they did early in the season last year. That's what they have to do. And I haven't seen much of that. And here's the other one. So, you know, there's got to be some opportune times where you decide, look, we're going to leave a couple extra guys in there, and it may be a three-step drop, but if they're playing us tight outside, we're going to take some shots down the field with Robbie Ashford because that's what he does the best. We saw it in game one, the deep ball he threw, and you go, man, that looks good. We haven't seen another one of those shots from him that I can remember anyway. Everything's been – so, I mean, you're going to have to take some chances. I mean, there's no question because – being conservative offensively, if you can't, here's the thing: being conservative is great if you can run the football, but when you can't, when it can't happen and it doesn't work, then you can beat Missouri that way barely, but that's not going to be good enough down the road for this team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he says on Monday about the possibility of a guy like TJ Finley coming back in.
He still hasn't confirmed an injury yet. So
that's true. Probably there probably won't be much on that front if you're banking on that. But obviously, it was like we discussed all week.
TJ did not have a helmet with him yesterday during warmups, and he was dancing around doing some stuff. Mm-hmm. And so my guess is that he'll get a look this week, and with it being LSU, I would think TJ would be very, very interested in see if he can get back on the field and play this week if possible.
Yeah, we saw Zach Calzada in warmups lightly. It wasn't full stuff for him. He did have a helmet on more so than TJ did.
But he was the fourth guy getting reps behind Trey Lindsey.
Yeah.
So it looked like an emergency only almost situation in that regard.
Yeah. And so it was like we talked about. This was the quarterback depth chart. Ashford was first, and of course we got our first look at Holden Garner in a tight spot, in a bad spot to throw a true freshman quarterback in. Luckily for him and luckily for Auburn, it was only two drives. Robbie Ashford, just kind of a stinger, that's what he said after the game, and the way he came out of the medical tent, he was already throwing the ball, he was running around. I mean, I think they just wanted to make sure everything was good with him. But when you're talking about quarterback play, I mean, he made a few good plays in this game. He had the touchdown run, had a couple good runs, made a few throws. I thought, you know, obviously they missed that field goal before halftime. That's probably something they should have converted, you know, 45-yard field goal with a senior. He brought them down the field in that instance, developed a nice little rapport relative to what he had with his other receiver, with Coy Moore, a couple connections here and there, and they didn't turn the ball over. So I, you know, none of this, I don't think you can circle, and he's a first-time starter. I don't think you can circle much of this back to Robbie Ashford. At the same time, like you were saying, it's just saying that Finley could maybe raise the ceiling and raise what this offense can do slightly is just because of what we know he is as a passer. It's not necessarily anything Ashford did wrong. And if Finley can come back, Ashford will certainly still be part of the game plan for next week and moving forward, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think for this offense to be able to compete against the teams left on the schedule, you've got to get, you know, the wide receivers involved and got to have a downfield passing game. And, you know, guy we talked about, Javarius Johnson's probably the best playmaker wide receiver on this team.
One target.
And 35 plays, I think, right? 35 snaps yesterday, had one target, did not, but the ball, I don't know, the ball ever got close enough to him to consider it a, you know, a catchable ball yesterday. So that's it. That's where you start talking about, you know, how involved are you? when you look at this team and go, okay, Coy Moore needs to be involved. He's a guy that can make plays, but you got to get Javarius Johnson some touches and targets, a lot of them. And again, you know, I know everybody has a lot to say about Landon King, but he's a guy that you need to get involved in some form or fashion in the passing game every once in a while, because he is a different guy than the other guys you have. And again, no action for him other than, I don't know how many plays he played. My guess would be 12 to 15. I don't know exactly how many it was, but, and so, yeah, offensively, it comes back to the offensive line. I thought they played pretty well early on, and when Tate Johnson went out, things tanked in a hurry. And in Missouri, some of that could be energy. I think some of that is Missouri going, okay, now we got an idea of what's coming. We can adjust to this moving forward, and we're going to adjust to it by saying, look, we're not going to let you run the football. Auburn had, it's crazy to say, in the last three quarters in overtime, Auburn had 13 yards rushing, averaged about a half a yard a carry. In the second half in overtime, Auburn averaged 0.3 yards per carry and had 5 yards in the last 30 minutes of that game and in overtime. 5 yards rushing against Missouri. That does not bode well when you start talking about where you're going to go find some offense for this team. And so that's the starting point. Defense created negative plays, created a couple of turnovers, got the benefit of a turnover there late, but hey, Derek Hall was all over the place. They made some plays. They got pressure. That was a good step in the right direction for this defense. They're going to need a lot more of that this week against LSU and Jaden Daniels, who is completing about 80% of his passes right now and doing a pretty good job of moving that LSU offense, even without Kayshon Booty last week. It stepped, even though LSU is not Georgia and Alabama, things step up several notches on Saturday for this team.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, even if you, even if you go sack adjusted, and even if you keep the entire game, if you don't take away the first quarter and you go sack adjusted, which is adding 35 rushing yards to the total, taking away four sacks, it's still less than 3 yards per carry for the entire game. That's including those two successful drives, 2.9 yards per carry for the game. So even if you're trying to give them every, letting them round every corner and cut the corners as you're looking at these statistics, it was still just, and it's not for lack of trying. They were trying to run the ball, and just nothing was working. You talked about the defense. I thought that their biggest adjustment, because I think a lot of people were worried when Auburn went 3-and-out right out of halftime, I think people were seeing shades of Penn State and just thinking, I mean, you looked at what Missouri did right before halftime. Their offense was clicking. Eli Drinkwitz was calling a wonderful game there in the second quarter, getting his guys moving side to side. I thought that's how he was trying to beat Auburn, get his tight ends, his running backs just going in space and you know, let them turn upfield and try to get them to break one tackle. So I think a lot of people just thought, okay, Missouri, this is going to be Missouri's game now that they've been able to score. So credit to Auburn's defense for being able to adjust. And they were great down the street. I mean, 5 3-and-outs for Missouri in the second half was massive for them. You talked about Derek Hall's turnover. He had 3 tackles for loss and a couple sacks. I thought maybe the biggest play of the game for the defense other than that interception was he had it might have been a 6-yard tackle for loss. It was 5 or 6 at the beginning of one of Missouri's last drives. They had decent field position. He kind of set them way behind the chains. They ended up having to punt on maybe a possession where they could have gotten down the field a little more. I say all that to say that the offensive adjustments at halftime are still, it has left so much to be desired. And I looked at it today. This is their last 6 second halves against Power 5 opponents. So this is what they've done in the third and fourth quarters in their last 6 games against Power 5 teams. 0 points, 6 points, because remember they scored that touchdown against Penn State, but they didn't get 2-point conversion. 0 points, 6 points, 3 points, 3 points, 6 points, 0 points. The last time they scored more than 6 points after halftime against a Power 5 team was when they beat Arkansas on the road last October. And so now it spans Harsin's teams. It spans last year where you had, I think, a much more competent offense overall with a third-year starting quarterback. And I just think as much as offensive line at the moment, this is their inability to look anything different after halftime or seeming like they really can't adjust to what you talked about. Missouri did do a good job adjusting after the first couple drives. Auburn couldn't adjust back for the rest of the game. They were scoreless for 3 quarters against a team like Missouri. It's baffling, honestly.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of that is field position. That became a field position game in the second half. And when you have two offenses that are struggling, and you know, if you're not creating a turnover, then you create a field position game. In the second half, Missouri's drive started on 26, 11, 15. They did have one at their own 40, 32, 13, and 30. Auburn's drive started 25, 6, 34, 15, 20, 24, and then 42 right there, you know, toward the end of the game. That's it. You start going, and the interception by Derek Hall in the 24-yard short field was what this team has to have. That's what this team has to have to make some of those plays to win games. And let's face it, if they don't get that Saturday, they don't beat Missouri. You know, the game's always different and you never know how it changes. But you look at that going, look, that's the single most important play of that game until those plays at the end that directly impacted it. But you start talking about 24-yard field, get a touchdown there to go up 14-0. If you're kind of battling, if this game turns into that game earlier, then one of those mistakes is magnified if you make them down the stretch. So, I don't know the answer. I don't know that there is an answer for this team, to be quite honest, other than trying to get the ball to your best players as many times as possible, see what happens, because I don't think you're going to snap your fingers and magically this offense is going to turn into, you know, one that's going to score 40, 50 points.
Yeah, you mentioned Landon King earlier, 4 snaps in the game, but at the same time, they didn't get into the red zone super, super often. I remember it on the first drive, they did put him in once they got into the red zone. They didn't look his way. Yeah, he's only on the field 4 times, like we mentioned. Javarius Johnson had 35 snaps, was only targeted once. Coy Moore was good. This is the best we've seen him look in an Auburn uniform just a few games in. Maybe he can be that third guy. Shed Jackson was decently quiet, but I mean, he's just kind of doing what he always does and being consistent for them. But you know, maybe you can find that third guy with Shed and Var, and maybe get a guy like Coy Moore in there to be a more consistent playmaker, especially if they get TJ Finley back. But it all just starts on the offensive line for them, not offense. The pass, we've talked a lot about run blocking. Pass protection wasn't much better than the run blocking was. It was still just kind of thrown together. I mean, I'm not a coach, but I was at least slightly surprised they didn't make any changes along the offensive line in terms of a starting lineup. Now, we did see Brendan Coffey come in at left tackle.
We saw some rotation through there. We saw Alec Jackson at right guard. Mm-hmm. We saw some different faces throughout the way on the offensive line. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that, you know, people are kind of wanting you know, one of the young guys. And, hey, these guys have been watching this offensive line since the spring. They're playing the guys they feel like give them the best chance to win. And there's not a lot of options for young guys behind them. I mean, Jeremiah Wright's only been playing offensive line for a few months. I think a guy that has some chances down the road. Colby Smith, you know, is a young guy at offensive tackle. I think they feel like has a chance in the future, but, you know, we haven't seen him in the top, really the top four of those guys at tackle moving forward. And there are just not many options. And so, you know, they're rotating older guys with older guys. And that's, you know, trying to find the right combination if they can find the right combination.
7.5 is what it opened at today for LSU next weekend. Obviously LSU is the favorite. 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Auburn's trying to win three straight in this series for the first time since Terry Bowden took over in the early 90s. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about that they've done this. Obviously, they had the demolition of LSU back in the largest margin of victory ever for Auburn in this series back in 2020. We're talking about Derek Hall and TJ Finley a lot on this podcast. Derek Hall was not very nice to TJ Finley. Nope. That day, Nehemiah Pritchett had a near pick six on it. It's a bad day for him. He's come a long way as a quarterback, because I remember that game he just refused to leave the pocket, it just, regardless how much pressure. Now he's obviously a lot more mobile, so maybe we'll see that when he gets back from injury. Like Jason said, this will be a big game for him. And then last year they broke their Baton Rouge curse, of course, thanks in probably massive part to what Bo Nix did in that game. And then they get LSU back here at home. It'll probably be a crazy game, Jason, because the Hurricane will be also making its way, it's
interesting just to see how this thing shapes up in the next few days as to what the forecast looks like. Right now, Friday is, I think, 65 for a high and about 80% chance of rain. Yep. Now we're in the 40 to 50% chance of rain on Saturday. It could change depending on the direction and course of the hurricane. It all bears watching to see how it impacts this game. And LSU, obviously they want to throw it a bunch. 20-mile-an-hour winds and rain probably wouldn't be the worst thing for Auburn come Saturday night if that's the case. But it all depends on how much, you know, rain you've already had and you know how the conditions are. Travel for, you know, a team like LSU could be involved. So obviously it could be some wait and see this week.
Yeah, we haven't had a weather watch for a game other than like lightning delays, but in terms of like a big time effect for the game like this in a while. So hopefully everybody, if you're affected by it at all, stay safe and stay vigilant on top of that this week. This isn't the first time LSU's been affected by something like this. We'll see if it even comes to that, but they had the game they're playing. Was it South Carolina that they moved the game?
They've had a Florida too, they flipped one time and played at home instead of going on the road, I think. And then they've had one delayed. I don't know that we're at that point yet, but, obviously you can make some adjustments here depending on what it looks like in a few days.
Yeah. So Missouri is kind of a light SEC opener for Auburn, or at least so we thought. Now you get into the portion of the schedule where you're about to play LSU and Georgia and Ole Miss, which has the number one rushing offense in the SEC. It looks pretty decent. Although I don't know much of a defense they have. Tulsa has the number one passing offense. I don't know. We'll find out. But all that is to say, it's a tough stretch of games coming up for Auburn in terms of the talent they'll be facing. Obviously, Georgia is foremost among that group, but they'll do their best to get out of things, get out of this home stretch. We're almost at the end of it. It's kind of crazy to think about. We're 1/3 through the regular season already. That's kind of depressing, but we're about to be out of this 5-game home stretch. And look, at the end of the day, you know, we said they needed to come out of this thing 4-1.
So got a shot.
They can.
A shot. I mean, they absolutely can. Well, I mean, we've seen this LSU team. I mean, they look better.
Yeah.
But they're still not world beaters. This is still a new staff that's going to have its share of issues. You're at home. I think, I'll say this before we get done. Kudos to Auburn's crowd Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a perfect opportunity for – And some people did stay home. It wasn't 87,000. Sure. It was a good crowd. And I'm going to tell you what, they were in the game
a while longer, but
made an impact in the fourth quarter and overtime of that game. 11 a.m., tie game against Missouri. Heck, you could have had everybody leaving for the exits. And a lot of those people stayed, and they cheered. Credit to them. That was I thought as impressive a fan showing, considering what had happened the week before, as I can remember in quite a while.
Yep.
They'll be there Saturday night and they'll be ready.
And consider, oh, absolutely. This will be the way things are going for Auburn right now. It just, you combine all the elements, the more factors you put in to an Auburn LSU matchup, just the more stuff you throw in the soup bowl there, it's just going to get even weirder. And so, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. That's something I was thinking about on Saturday. You referenced that in the San Jose State game, that might have had an impact on some of those plays in that game. It probably did on Saturday too. So yeah, I mean, yeah, credit to the crowd at the beginning of the season here.
Yep, I agree. I thought they did a good job and showed up, and they'll be there again Saturday night. Should be a lot of fun. And now, always interesting week. First time Auburn facing Brian Kelly, so that'll be new. We'll have new thoughts, new stance from LSU and Brian Kelly, and a bunch of new faces on that team and Jaden Daniels. So a lot to look at in terms of previews heading into this LSU game.
Yeah, for sure. Always a good one. Never disappoints. Certainly never dull between Auburn and LSU. So, of course, Auburn gets the win over Missouri 17-14 in overtime with a couple crazy finishes there at the end. A finish to regulation and a finish to the game that both obviously went in Auburn's favor. For Jason Caldwell, I'm Nathan King from Auburn Undercover and the 24/7 Sports Network. If you guys enjoyed this episode of the Auburn Undercover podcast, please go leave us a 5-star review or recommend it to a friend. We would love if you would do both those things. We will have another episode on Tuesday morning because we are going to talk with Brian Harsin tomorrow about LSU, probably a little more about Missouri, talk about injuries, personnel, all that kind of stuff. Whatever we are able to glean from him on Monday, we will discuss it in your feed on Tuesday morning. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Everybody enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the start of the week, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.